Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we are moving at, well, light speed across the absolute frontier of innovation.
We really are.
We've pulled together a fascinating stack of source material today. It's called Frontiers of Innovation: Games, Space, and Intelligence. And we're going to give you the shortcut to being instantly well-informed.
Mm-hmm.
Our mission is to connect these seemingly disparate areas. We're going from the largest virtual world ever engineered to the most ambitious physical engineering feat since the moon landing.
And then something you can use today.
Exactly. And a secret weapon to overhaul your productivity using AI. This whole deep dive is about scale, risk, and I think transformation. So let's just jump right in.
That connection is key, especially the scale. I mean, these three fields, gaming engines, aerospace engineering, and computational intelligence, they're all fundamentally changing what we believe is possible.
In what way?
Well, both in terms of, say, graphical fidelity and then just outright physics defiance. What's so fascinating here is how the audacity of the goal really defines the level of innovation that's required in each of these domains.
Okay, let's unpack that. Let's start where massive technology meets popular culture. Grand Theft Auto VI.
Of course.
This isn't just another game launch. Mm. The sources are suggesting this will likely be the single most expensive entertainment product ever created.
Ever. We're talking numbers that could eclipse $1 billion in development and marketing.
It's staggering.
Yeah.
And the technology powering it is where this gets really interesting. It seems to be redefining what immersion even means.
It is. Rockstar is claiming their new engine, the Rage 9 engine, it's more than just an incremental update. They're calling it a quantum leap forward.
A quantum leap. And that's to solve a problem that's plagued these huge open worlds for years, right?
Yeah.
This cardboard box effect.
Exactly. The cardboard box effect. For years, you've had these huge, photorealistic cities.
But you can't go inside anything.
Right. It's all just a two-dimensional facade, a locked door, a painted-on window. It completely shatters the illusion.
That concept of running around on the surface of a beautiful lie, that's the core of the problem. But the source material is hinting at what they're calling the interior's breakthrough.
And get this. Insider reports are suggesting that over 70% of the buildings in this new version of Vice City will be fully enterable.
70%.
Think about the computational lift that requires. It's not just rendering the inside of a room. It's making sure every single object, every chair, every coffee mug is part of a persistent state.
So it changes everything. A police chase isn't just horizontal, across a few city blocks.
No, it's vertical. It's through a dozen floors of an office building, crashing through a dozen different virtual lives. It adds a whole new dimension, literally.
And the most complex part of that virtual life has to be the NPCs, the non-player characters.
People on the street.
Right. And Rockstar recently filed a patent for something called intelligent NPC navigation. The old system was, well, it treated them like mindless drones.
Yeah, it really did. You'd fire a gun and they'd all run away using the same animation loop, maybe screaming one of three pre-recorded lines.
Very predictable.
But the Rage 9 engine seems to change that. It gives NPCs two critical things: distinct personalities and, this is the big one, short-term memory.
Okay, the memory aspect is the absolute game changer here.
Mm-hmm.
So walk me through a scenario based on the reports.
Okay, imagine this. You commit a small crime in one part of Vice City. Some NPCs, maybe with a cowardly personality trait, might just run and hide immediately.
Standard stuff.
But others, ones with a brave or maybe a chaotic profile, they might actually pull out their virtual phones and start filming you.
A digital documentarian of your own crime. That's fantastic.
Exactly. But the deeper implication is the persistence. That one NPC might remember your face or the specific car you were driving.
So days later.
Days later, you drive past them in a totally different part of the city, and they might actually react. Not in a big, obvious way, but with a subtle behavioral change.
Like what?
Maybe their anxiety level ticks up. Maybe they discreetly reach for their phone to report you instead of just walking past like nothing ever happened.
Wow. That is the difference between a video game and a true digital simulation. That level of fidelity raises a huge technical question, though.
How do they pull it off?
Yeah. I mean, are they offloading all of that NPC state calculation to the cloud? Or has Rage 9 found some optimized local solution for handling millions of persistent states?
The sources suggest it's likely a hybrid approach, using local processing for all the immediate in-your-face interactions and then cloud compute for that long-term memory persistence.
So the ambition is clear.
It is. They want Vice City to feel like a place that remembers you. For better or for worse, it stops being a map. It becomes a dynamic ecosystem.
A truly incredible virtual challenge. Okay, let's pivot now from that virtual world to the most audacious physical engineering feat happening right now. We're leaving Vice City.
And heading to Boca Chica, Texas.
To talk about Operation Chopsticks, SpaceX's insane plan to catch the massive Starship booster in midair.
It sounds utterly preposterous, doesn't it? But this is the critical step they need to achieve their larger ambition.
And just for scale, remind everyone how big this booster is.
We are talking about the Super Heavy booster. It's the size of a 20-story skyscraper. It falls back from space at tremendous speed.
And instead of landing in the ocean or on little legs like they used to?
No legs. They want to catch it.
Elon Musk's philosophy here is just, it's brutally efficient. He eliminated the landing legs entirely.
His quote is, the best part is no part.
Right. And legs add weight, they add complexity, they add maintenance time. But that design choice means all the risk gets shifted to the launch tower itself.
Precisely. The mechanism is nicknamed Mechazilla. It's these two enormous mechanical arms, the chopsticks, built right into the launch tower.
So the rocket has to do what exactly?
It has to reignite its engines at the last second, slow its descent, and then just hover with millimeter precision right next to the tower, fighting wind, fighting everything.
And the timing window for those arms to grab it must be
unbelievably narrow. They have to close around the rocket's grid fins at the perfect moment.
But surely deleting the legs doesn't just reduce the part count. It shifts a massive, massive risk onto those chopsticks. How are the sources framing this? What's the probability of catastrophic failure versus success?
Oh, the sources are very clear. The risk is extreme. They classify the success rate in the early attempts as, you know, low.
But the reward?
The economic reward is just too high to ignore. If you connect this to the bigger picture, this isn't just about saving one rocket. It's about achieving rapid, total reusability.
Which is the holy grail of spaceflight, right?
Mm-hmm.
Current heavy lift rockets take months, sometimes even years, of refurbishment after a single launch.
Exactly. If Mechazilla works, the sources project the turnaround time for a super heavy booster could eventually drop to hours.
From months to hours?
Yes. And that shift is the economic leverage point that makes, well, colonization feasible. It slashes the cost per launch. And their ambition, which the sources note is aggressive but serious, is putting humans on Mars by 2029.
And they seem to be on track.
Given the rapid iteration on the Raptor engines and the heat shield tiles, yeah. They are building the infrastructure now to meet that timeline.
It's just incredible. Catching a skyscraper with giant metal chopsticks to build a colony on Mars? The engineering challenge is absolutely wild.
It really is.
Now, that future may be Mars, but the immediate commercial battleground,
yeah,
it's happening right here on Earth.
Yeah.
Specifically on our faces.
Yes. The mixed reality wars.
Let's pivot to that and look at Apple's tactical retreat with the Vision Pro. Technologically, it was a masterpiece. I mean, 4K micro OLEDs, incredible pass-through video.
A technical marvel. But commercially, at $3,500, it was a niche device. Purely for enthusiasts and developers.
And so much of that failure to achieve mass adoption centered on its complexity and its weight.
And a massive contributor to both of those was one very controversial feature, the external display they called EyeSight.
Right. The screen on the front that showed your eyes. Mm-hmm. The intent was social. They wanted to prevent the user from feeling isolated.
But the execution was just off.
It failed the social test completely. Yeah. Users found the external display dim, it was glitchy, and honestly, a little creepy.
It really was. I remember seeing them in public, and you felt like they were judging your latte choice through some kind of hyper-optimized 4K lens.
And all that technical overhead, tracking the eyes internally, processing that image, displaying it externally, it added incredible cost and complexity.
And that's exactly why we're seeing this major strategic pivot confirmed by reliable supply chain leaks. The next generation, which will probably be called Apple Vision Air,
is getting rid of it,
is removing the EyeSight screen entirely. This single decision is a massive trade-off, but it accomplishes a trifecta of goals.
Which are?
It significantly reduces the weight, it drastically lowers the manufacturing complexity, and most critically, it allows them to slash the cost.
So what does this all mean for you, the consumer? It signals that the premium experiment is basically over.
And the mass market strategy is beginning.
That price point is expected to drop dramatically. We're talking somewhere between, what, $1,500 and $2,000?
That's the rumored range. And that changes the device from a specialist tool to a high-end consumer product. They're reacting directly to market reality.
The reality being Mark Zuckerberg's Quest 3.
Exactly. The $500 Quest 3 dominates the entire VR market. And why? Because of its accessibility, its price point.
Apple realized that superior technology alone, those beautiful high-res displays, it wasn't enough to win the platform war.
Not at all. They need to prioritize accessibility and volume. The sources clearly suggest that the true mixed reality war, it really begins in 2026, when these more affordable, lighter headsets finally hit the shelves.
It all comes down to strategic execution, whether you're launching rockets or consumer electronics. Which actually brings us to our final and perhaps most immediately useful piece of the research stack we have for you.
Something you can actually use right now.
A secret weapon, as one source called it. We're talking about maximizing your productivity using AI by giving it a deep system recalibration.
This is a tremendous takeaway for anyone who relies on large language models for, you know, deep analysis, writing reports, or just synthesizing research.
Because most people use these tools in default mode.
Exactly. Most people, when they first engage with AI tools like ChatGPT or Claude or Gemini, they just use it straight out of the box.
And what does that look like in practice?
It looks robotic. You type a simple request, write an analysis of X, and the AI generates this dry, often overly formal, Wikipedia-style text.
Right. It lacks tone. It lacks personality. It's just restating facts rather than creating insights.
It's like the AI is standing backstage without a character script, so it just acts like a bland, generalized machine.
So it needs to be told how to think, not just what you write. And the core concept here is that the AI needs a set of initial hidden instructions. The source material calls it a character code.
Which is really just a system prompt. It's essentially the AI's operating system for that specific chat session.
And the source we looked at has actually open sourced its own prompt.
They have. They call it the Taking Game Soul file. And it's nothing more complex than a simple text file. But it contains extremely complex, precise English instructions that completely refine the AI's behavior. It turns it into a fine-tuned persona.
And the instructions inside this file, that's what really matters. They tell the AI exactly how to structure its analysis and what personality to adopt.
For example, the instructions require the AI to, one, think like a senior tech editor, not a generic bot. Two, to despise clickbait and focus purely on value.
Three, to mimic a professional yet witty tone. And four, this is a big one, to strictly use the Feynman technique in its explanations.
We should probably define that for you, just conversationally. The Feynman technique, named after the physicist, is essentially forcing the AI to teach a complex concept to a five-year-old in its own head before it writes the final sophisticated output for you.
So it forces simplicity and clarity.
No matter how complex the topic, it ensures the analysis is understandable at its core.
So the application couldn't be simpler, which is the genius of it. You copy the entire body of text from that character code file.
You open a new chat in your AI platform of choice, you paste the whole thing in and you hit enter.
And that's it. You've just performed a fundamental overhaul on the AI's persona for that entire conversation.
That one action changes the AI from a robotic assistant to a highly fine-tuned AI persona. It's dedicated to analysis and quality writing. It allows the AI to think, to analyze, and to write like an expert with an established personality.
And the sources claim it can multiply your productivity and analytical output by tenfold.
It's knowledge being applied directly to the tools we use every single day. It's powerful stuff.
What a journey.
It really was. We started with the sheer complexity of virtual simulation running through fully enterable cities with AI that actually remembers what you did.
Then we jumped to the monumental physics of catching a 20-story rocket falling from space using chopsticks.
And finally, we detailed how you can leverage AI system recalibration or brain surgery to fundamentally enhance your own productivity and analysis.
The sources really did highlight that true innovation is not confined to one sector. It's happening everywhere. Mm. Whether it's the persistence of a virtual character or the rapid reusability of a rocket, it's the audacity of the engineering that's driving us forward right now.
And this brings us back to that final segment, to that concept of a character code.
Go on.
Well, if a simple, carefully crafted text file is sold, can fundamentally change how an AI thinks, writes, and analyzes material for you, we need to ask ourselves a deeper, more personal question. What kind of internal system prompt, what kind of belief system or methodology are you using to direct your own learning, your own critical thinking, and your engagement with the world? That's something for you to mull over as you process all these frontiers of innovation.
A profound thought to end on. Until the next deep dive, keep learning, keep questioning, and keep innovating.